Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Arjamil, Texts 28 and 29. Sapashastam strindrishtva Purushan atidarunan Vakratunda nudvaromna Atmanam netamagata Durekrita nakshakashaktam.
It's not on the board?
Okay, we'll read the first one again. Sapashastam strindrishtva Purushan atidarunan Vakratundan udvaromna Atmanam netamagatan Sapashastam strindrishtva Purushan atidarunan Vakratunda urdvaromna Atmanam netamagatan.
Ladies,
that person, Arjamil. Hashahashtan. Having ropes in their hands. Trin. Three. Drishtva. Seeing. Purusha. Persons. Atidarunan. Very fearful in their features. Vakratundan. With twisted faces. Urdvaromna, with hair standing on the body. Atmanam, the self. Netom, to take away. Agatan, arrived. I'll also read the second verse. Durikritan vashaktat
Dure kridana kashaktam putram narayanabhayam plavitena svareno cher ajuhava kulendriya.
Translation. Ajamil then saw three awkward persons with deformed bodily features, fierce, twisted faces, and hair standing erect on their bodies. With ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Yamaraj. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered, and because of attachment to his child, who was playing a short distance away, Ajamil began to call him loudly by his name. Thus, with tears in his eyes, he somehow or other chanted the holy name of Narayan. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. A person who performs sinful activities performs them with his body, mind, and words. Therefore, three order carriers from Yamaraj came to take Ajamil to Yamaraj's abode. Fortunately, even though he was referring to his son, Ajamil chanted the four syllables of the Harinam Narayan, and therefore the order carriers of Narayan, the Vishnu Dutas, also immediately arrived there. Because Ajamil was extremely afraid of the ropes of Yamaraj, he chanted the Lord's name with tearful eyes. Actually, however, he never meant to chant the holy name of Narayan. He meant to call his son. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshulan Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave on this verse, he points out that Ajamil actually was given a second chance. We've got that book by the BBT, Second Chance. And we see that in life, people often commit some mistakes and they beg for a second chance. Many people want not just a second chance, but a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chance also. Because in the age that we live in, Kali Yuga, Manda Samanda Matayu, Manda Bhagya, Yupadrita, it's not unusual for people to be disturbed. Now, Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. Savasya Chaham Sannivishto Matas Mitam Gyanam Purnam Sja. From him comes everything, remembrance, knowledge, forgetfulness, everything comes from Krishna. Krishna arranged for him that his son would be called Narayan. Because in his youth, Ajamil had been a good devotee. So, just to help him remember Krishna, Krishna had arranged and given him some idea that this son should be called Narayan. Because Krishna wants to give every living entity a chance to remember him. That's the beauty of the whole thing. That Krishna does want us to remember him, even though we try very hard to forget him. We come to this world, not so much, sometimes we say because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada in the lecture one time says that sometimes we're just looking for variety. And he says, just like I'm eating rice dal sabji. But someday I'm thinking, is there something else? So he says, like that, sometimes we think we're with Krishna and we think everything's just like eating rice dal sabji. But sometimes we think, is there something else that I can get? And we're looking for that alternative. We think somehow there must be something better. Or as they say in the West, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. I remember one year we were doing Padayatra in New Zealand, and there are more sheep than people in New Zealand. So as we were chanting, we would just chant along the road and there was no one. But the animals would often come. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. When you're chanting, the animals always come. And they're always putting their head through the fence and eating the grass on the other side of the fence. But in this circumstance, as we were chanting, they were standing there watching, listening to the kirtan. Actually, animals do like to listen to the Harinam as well. So everybody should be given an opportunity to remember Krishna. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness, to always remember Krishna, never forget him. So Krishna also arranges things. And sometimes by good fortune we take advantage of those things. And sometimes by misfortune we don't. So Ajamil, he got the opportunity by Krishna's grace to chant Narayan's name, thinking of his son. And Krishna has this thing, he says, Krishna doesn't like people who offend him. He's always giving people the chance by remembering him to overcome whatever offense that they may be committing. So, he knows that because of many lifetimes of existence in this material world, it's very, very difficult. So many samskaras are there, so many impressions are there. Just like when we first begin to chant Hare Krishna, it seems very blissful. But after some time, we may have desires that we didn't even have, or that we didn't even realize that we had, I should say. And they come up and we're chanting and we don't know what shall we do with them. Does anybody ever experience that? Huh? I see some people nodding, yes. And even after many decades, we may experience sometimes some desire and we wonder, where did that come from? Why is that desire coming? Because it's many, many lifetimes we've had that experience. So it's not unusual, even for Ajamil, to have been in this situation. The idea that somebody could sin, or that the idea that somebody could think of something which is separate from Krishna, is not so unusual in the material world, because everybody is trying to be like that. Everybody is trying somehow to forget Krishna. They don't even know that they're forgetting Krishna. They're so covered over. Just like we know that there are these two covering potencies, Avaranatmika and Pratyakshatmika. One, you know, throws you down, it says, in the body of a pig, and the other one covers you over and makes you think that it's a really good situation that you're in. So in that situation we may commit some sinful activities, and we get sidetracked from remembering Krishna. But the good thing is that Krishna doesn't forget. Krishna doesn't have that same feeling of forgetfulness. He always remembers. So in the case of Ajamil, Krishna did remember that he was a good boy, that he had practiced nicely. Krishna remembers that. And therefore Krishna gave him an opportunity to remember him. Now, Krishna is self-sufficient. He doesn't actually need anybody to remember him. We love it when somebody remembers us, right? If somebody sends you a happy birthday message and says, happy birthday, or they say, oh, I remember you from all those years ago. In our heart, we're very happy, aren't we? Everybody likes to be remembered. Actually, let's look at the reverse. Nobody likes to be forgotten. Nobody likes it when somebody says, who are you? I don't remember you. We want people to remember us. Right? We go in front of Krishna, we chant his holy name, and we pray, Krishna, do you remember me? You know, one day, in the past, maybe I did some service for you. Do you remember, you know, I swept the floor when I was a new bhakta? Do you remember I went out in Sankirtan and I sold your book for you? And I told people about you? Do you remember? And Krishna goes, sure, I remember everything. But you don't. Isn't it? That's what Arjuna hears from Krishna on the Battle of Kurukshetra. I can remember all our past births, Arjuna, but you're the one that can't remember. So this forgetfulness of Krishna is what is keeping us away, separated. And we're praying as devotees, Krishna, please, if I can do something, and if you can somehow remember the good things that I've tried to do for you. And we're always looking for that, isn't it? We're looking, Prabhu, don't you remember I did this service? Don't you remember? We're always looking for that appreciation. And when somebody appreciates us, we're very, very happy. We love that. Oh, look, I got an award. I'm the top Sankirtan devotee. I distributed so many books. I did so much. Krishna, don't you remember I did so many aartis for you? Every morning I woke you up, gave you some milk sweet, dressed you. So we're looking for Krishna to remember us, for Krishna to acknowledge us. So Ajmer, by bad association, he lost his good character. He had good character. He was remembering Krishna. But somehow he got sidetracked. And that good character that he had was lost. And he became captivated. Infatuation with material things is such a powerful thing. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that even a person is discrimination. Sometimes if one of their senses focuses on something, it can carry away even the intelligence of a good person. I'm sure that doesn't happen to any of you, right? But I've had experience. Sometimes your mind just gets captivated by something. You see something. You hear something. And you get sidetracked. You get distracted. You think, whoop, what happened just then? Huh? I was on this path. I live in Hong Kong. And we have so many tourists. And I don't know if you have this phenomena in India, but people walk on the street with their cell phone in their hand, tapping away on the street. They're just walking. And, you know, as you're walking down the street, people, they're walking like this. You can't. Nobody's walking in a straight line. Does it happen in India also? Phenomena also here? Or people, they're taking photos of themselves, right? They're taking a selfie, as they call it. They're taking a selfie, you know, click, click. And then they bump into something. Bang. So one of their senses has become captivated, right? By seeing themselves, by seeing others, they become captivated and they lose even track of where they are. They'll fall on the train track and get run over by the train. They'll walk on the street and get hit by a car. Huh? So a very dangerous situation, not just spiritually, but even materially. Huh? So in this way, Krishna is always trying to give us some opportunity. Hey, snap out of it. Come on, remember where you are. Remember who you are. You're a spirit soul. You have nothing to do with this material world. Stop blaming everybody for everything. Remember, you have to take responsibility for your actions. Ajamil, remember who you are. Here's your son. His name is Narayan. Even in the point of death, I'll give you an arrangement somehow. Krishna doesn't need us to remember him. But like anybody, he doesn't mind. Isn't it? Krishna explains, I'm not a friend to anybody. I'm not an enemy to anybody. But, and Krishna gives that disclaimer, if you're a friend to me, I'll be a friend to you. See? But I don't really need you. I'm okay. I'm self-satisfied. Sometimes we think like that also. In the immature stage, we may sometimes think, I don't need you. Who are you? I'm okay by myself. Right? And this demoniac idea even comes up some into our mind. So much wealth I have today, so much wealth I'll have tomorrow. He's my enemy, I will kill him. I'm surrounded by rich and aristocratic friends. I don't need anybody. I'm self-sufficient. I have everything. Right? And that extends not just to ourselves, it may extend to our country. We may think, you know, I'm here in Bharat Bhumi, I have everything. What do I need? Anything else? We are self-sufficient. Everything is there. Why do we need the rest of the world? In this way, some ideas of nationalistic pride. What was that thing, Gandhi? Swaraj? Swaraj. Yes. He thought like that. So this is Maya, actually. Let's call a spade a spade. It's called Maya. To think that we are somehow not dependent on Krishna. We declare our independence from Krishna. Right? So, as devotees, we practice to chant the holy names. And we practice to avoid offenses. And we practice to not fall down. Because when you do that, you remain safe. Ajmil, on the other hand, he fell down. But Prabhupada says he was a victim of circumstance. It was a circumstantial kind of a fall down. He saw the situation that we all know. And, you know, he followed that path. And as devotees in the year 2013, there's plenty to fall down to if you really want to. I mean, you know, there's opportunities at every single second of the day. And therefore, devotees who resist that temptation, who by virtue of higher knowledge, higher taste, are able to resist that temptation, they're actually very, very great sadhus. We can't imagine how much strength that actually takes in this Kali Yuga. If Ajmil fell down simply by sawing a man and a woman embrace, in Kali Yuga, this is everywhere. And for devotees to remain strong, it is not just their own power. Sometimes people think, by my own power, I'm resisting everything. But Srila Prabhupada explains it's actually the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving you the mercy to remember, to remain fixed. Nothing that you're not so special. It's not that any of us are chanting such wonderful rounds that, you know, we have this huge bubble around us, nothing can touch us. Although that's what we like to believe, right? That we're floating through this material world, you know, in these bubbles. It's actually just the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, giving us the opportunity to remember Him and keep engaged. So, Western society, and for that matter, pretty much every society in the world now, is promoting sinful activities. If you don't practice these sinful activities, people think that you're being denied the necessities of life. They think that sinful life is like a necessity. You must have it. You must have eating meat and illicit sex and gambling, intoxication. If you don't have those things, then you're not a wholesome person anymore. You know, you've got to have these things to, you know, to be a whole person. This is what society is training people to be. And anybody who doesn't practice those things, there's something wrong with them. They're somehow repressed. They're somehow not getting enough, you know, protein. They're somehow not getting the full taste of what's out there. People are expert marketers. I don't know, any of you have done any marketing, studied these things. They're very expert at appealing to the mental stimulation that... Because all sense gratification starts in the mind. doesn't it? Krishna says, while contemplating the objects of the senses, persons develop attachment for them. I think most of the marketing people have probably read Bhagavad Gita. They've understood what is the psychology, what is the systematic path that you have to get somebody hooked. Right? So first, put it in their mind, because by that mental stimulation, they'll get attached to it. Now, Prabhupada tells the story of one of his godbrothers who went to England, and he met the Marquis of Zetland, who had previously, I believe, been the governor of Bengal, or maybe even the governor of India. So when they went to see him, he gave them some audience, because previously he'd been in India, so he was ready to receive some people from India. And Prabhupada tells that story that Lord Zetland asked the devotees, could they make him a brahmana? And the devotees said, yes, we can make you a brahmana, but you have to follow these different principles and rules. And he replied, what did he say? Impossible. Right? He said, it's impossible. It's impossible. Because these things are the necessities of my life, he said. I need these things to be to be who I am. So Prabhupada says, when devotees tell people that you should follow these four regulative principles, people think you're taking something away from them. Of course, what does Bhagavad Gita say? It says these are principles of freedom. That if you can control those things, if you don't engage in those things, you're actually free. And you develop good qualities. And by good qualities, you can understand Krishna. And Prabhupada says you can't understand Krishna if you're engaged in an offensive type of behavior. It's an offensive behavior. Now, when you give up those sinful activities and you become purified, then you can understand who is Krishna. Otherwise, our progress becomes checked. It's not that you can't make progress in this world, but it becomes suspended. Krishna is always giving us an opportunity, but we don't take advantage of that opportunity, and that not taking advantage is that we do something which goes against the things that are helpful, that are pleasing to Krishna. So Krishna arranged for Ajamil to call his son Narayan. Now Ajamil, because he had committed sinful activities, he was forced to see the Yamadutas. And if one is an offender, then he sees the Yamadutas. But one who doesn't perform sinful activities, he doesn't need to see them. He's saved from having to see the Yamadutas. As a sinless person, he doesn't have to see these grotesque features which are being described here. Right? They came. Deformed bodily features, fierce, twisted faces, hair standing erect on their bodies, ropes in their hands, they came to take him to the abode of Yamaraj. It's quite a difficult thing to see such persons. And there's another example Prabhupada gives also of a person who is sinless, but on the direction of Krishna, he did something which was against his nature. And Prabhupada talks about Yudhisthira Maharaj having to tell Dronacharya that his son was dead. Yudhisthira, of course, we know he didn't want to. He prided himself that I never told a lie. But on behalf of Krishna, he did that. And he also had to experience some reaction for that. We won't go into that whole story. But here's an example of somebody who followed Krishna's direction, and still he got some reaction. So even there you have to be careful. Um, when we follow Krishna's directions, when we do things according to Krishna's direction, Krishna reveals himself. Even Krishna is a tricky person. We know that Mother Yashoda, she accepted Krishna as her son, and Krishna did many naughty things in Vrindavan, and Mother Yashoda decided to tie Krishna up with a rope, and the rope was always too short. But gradually, because of Mother Yashoda's dedication to Krishna, because of her sinless behavior, Krishna allowed himself to be bound and to be captured. So despite Krishna being able to play tricks on everybody, being able to cheat people, being able to steal from people, if we have some love for Krishna, if we call on Krishna in a sinless way, Krishna allows himself to again be captured. If you try to trick Krishna, Krishna will trick you. That's a fact. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions, if you try to trick the Vaishnavas, if you try to trick the spiritual master, if you try to cheat them, Krishna does not appreciate these things. So therefore, in the same vein as in this lecture, Prabhupada mentions, one shouldn't consider those who are devotees of Krishna to be ordinary persons. Those who are serving Krishna are special. And we should never try to trick those persons. Because Krishna is within the heart. And he knows what you're trying to do. Krishna will see that. By the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of the guru, we get Krishna. So when we try to trick a person who can give us Krishna, we enter into a very dangerous realm. Our spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, they open our eyes. They give us Krishna. So don't try to cheat the guru. Don't try to cheat Krishna. If we behave ourselves, Krishna consciousness is always guaranteed. We should follow what is the proper path of understanding Krishna. Don't try to jump over the guru. Don't try to jump over the disciplic succession. Follow the system that is given. And then Krishna will protect you. You will not have to see the Yamadutas. And the path for going back to Godhead will become very clear. And Krishna will also come and save us, just like he saved Ajmer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Any comments? Any corrections, Maharaj? Yes, Prabhu. Is there a microphone for Nishingananda Prabhu?
Thank you very much, Chitraj Prabhu, for an enlightening discourse. Just wanted to add that there's a wonderful devotee, older devotee in Los Angeles. We gave her the name Prabhupada Leela because she met Prabhupada in 71, and though she was never initiated, she was completely dedicated to Prabhupada's mission and philosophy. And she was preaching right up to her last days in her late 80s. And she was in a convalescent home, and she had all pictures of the deities and Prabhupada everywhere in her room, and she would preach to anybody who came in. So she called me up one evening, and she said, "You have to come over, I have to tell you something." So I made the trip to the convalescent home, and she said, "I had a vision last night." She said, "I thought I was dying." And she said, "These terrible creatures came in the room. They looked just like the pictures in the Bhagavatam. And they tried to take me away. And I was yelling to them, shouting to them, but Prabhupada, Prabhupada. And when I started yelling, then these beautiful forms appeared. This is a true story. And they looked just like the pictures in the Bhagavatam. And they made those horrible creatures go away. She said, she looked at me with her very crystal clear eyes, because her eyes were very piercing. She was such an honest person. She said, it's just as Prabhupada describes it. She said, last night he saved me from those terrible creatures. Some reason I didn't leave yet. Some days later she left her body. But I'll never forget that moment when she was staring at me, and the reality struck me so profoundly that even though it seems so phantasmagorical in one sense to our external senses, deeply, Prabhupada has given us the absolute truth.
Thank you, Prabhu. In other words, the process works. The process works. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Jai. Yes. Yes.
माया का आक्रमण हो रहा है या हमारे प्रारब्ध से हो रहा है या कृष्ण हमारे परीक्षा ले रहे हैं.
Hare Krishna. The question is, we are following the process of Krishna consciousness and we are being attacked by Maya. So is that our prarabdha or Krishna is testing us?
You mean as devotees?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, sometimes there's a test just to show how great a devotee is. Sometimes that test is to test to see whether or not you're actually serious. Sometimes the test may be for another reason, maybe your karma, because we have some lingering doubts, perhaps. So it comes for a variety of different reasons, that test. I don't think it's just one particular reason. There's a variety of different reasons that can be there. And because each one of us has an individual story to tell, you know, everyone has some are coming, you know, just because they're assisting the mission of the guru and they're part of the entourage, and they may appear to be in Maya, but they may do something. Some people are experiencing, you know, causeless mercy, even though they were not fit for anything, and they come up, and then there may be some reason why they get tested, or they may experience attraction to Maya. But in all circumstances, it doesn't really matter what the reason is. Each one of us can make a choice. That's the real point. We make decisions every moment of the day. And the decision that we make, whether or not to embrace that temptation or not, is what can make us glorious or it can make us stay in this world. So, my statement would be, let's try and make the right choices. Let's try to remember Krishna always and never forget him. And the easiest way to do that is to stay with the devotees. Stay always in the association of the devotees. It may be your karma, it may be whatever, but if you stay with the devotees, they have this real knack for helping you to remember Krishna, even if it's sometimes quite difficult for our ego to tolerate it. You know? Is that okay? Okay. Yes, Prabhuji. Maybe we need to invest in two microphones. One for the front, one for the back.
Hare Krishna. I have some comments.
Sure.
In the Mahabharata, when there was fight was going on, Pandavas and between Kauravas, the fight, no one was able to defeat to Dronacharya because he was their guru, and whatever weapon Pandavas released, he used to cut off. So then Krishna told Bhima to kill an elephant. That name was also Ashwatthama. And when the elephant was killed, the rumor spread aloud that Ashwatthama is killed. And then Krishna knew that the Dronacharya will come to ask Yudhishthir actually what is truth. So Krishna told Yudhishthir to speak that lie. But he said, I will not speak lie. Then he said, you say at least Narova Kunjarova. So when the plan was made, when he said Narova, the Dronacharya could hear it. But when he said Kunjarova, they blow conchal loudly. So was not able to hear actually Kunjarova. So he not spoke lie, he said Narova Kunjarova. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us. As I mentioned in the class, I only mentioned that part because Srila Prabhupada mentioned it, so I didn't want to elaborate too much. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It is true that we are attacked by Maya, but don't you see the difference in forgetting Krishna totally and forgetting Krishna? Means when we remember Maya 100 times, even if we remember Krishna once, is it also not our fortune?
Very nice realization. Thank you very much. Yes, it's a good fortune to remember Krishna even once. And here we have the opportunity to remember Krishna every day. That's why being in the temple is such a fortunate thing. We should never forget that. What to speak of always remembering Krishna? We should never forget our good fortune in being with the devotees.
Hare Krishna.
What time should I finish? Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One person is worshipping Krishna, but he is doing all nonsense activities. What the result he will get of that?
As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly, Krishna says. You know, you get what you give. You get some sort of mixed reaction. That's the point. You know? Just use your common sense on this one. Okay? You know, as the saying goes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, man's glory lies in his common sense. So these sort of things, if you think about it just logically, we can give a scriptural answer, that's obviously there. But if you do something purely, then you'll get a pure result. If you do something mixed, you'll get a mixed result. Make sense? Yeah. It's not rocket science, you know. Krishna consciousness, it's pretty simple to understand, actually. There are many, you know, details, obviously. But the sum and substance is that God is great, we are small, our position is to be a servant and to do it in a loving, selfless way, in such a way that we always remember Him and develop love for Him. That's the essence. And everything else is just the padding around it all. You know. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, go Premanandi!